You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Y'all ready for a good word?
Yes.
I am too. Hallelujah. Let's pray together and believe that God did us be a good word. Amen. Y'all believe with me. Turn with me, if you will, to where did I want to start this thing? I tell you what, turn to Mark, the 11th chapter, and just hold your place there. I may quote a few scriptures and before we get started. I want to teach this morning on something that we all need to hear. You know you need it. Are you with me? I need it, and you need it, and we all need it. On the subject of forgiveness. Everybody say forgive.
Forgive.
Probably, you know, mainly today, I want to teach on forgiving. In other words, forgiving people. Now, we need forgiveness, obviously, but we also need to forgive. We need to cultivate an attitude of forgiveness. That's something that really separates us in many ways from the world, is the fact that we're Christians and we forgive. It doesn't mean we're wimps. It doesn't mean we let people run over us and so on and so forth. But you know what? We are forgiving people. If you don't forgive, it's going to cost you. Bottom line. People offend you in life. We're in this world and we rub up against each other, and you know, offenses happen, bad words happen, people, tempers flare and emotions flare, families, you know, get split up. It's just a sad, sad state this world's in, and we're in it, and we can't deny that. We're in it, not of it, though. That's the good news. And we can forgive because we're not doing this in our own power. I mean, if that were the case, yeah, I'll stick the fork in, we're done. I mean, if it's up to me and my own just to muster up some forgiveness for somebody that's sinned against me or done something wrong, well, you know, in the natural, that's just not possible, but forgiveness is not a natural thing. Forgiveness is a supernatural thing. We need to keep that in mind. And it's the pattern that Jesus set. I mean, here they are crucifying Jesus on the cross, hung between two thieves. Right there, between a lawyer and an IRS agent. And... No. Stay with me. Stay with me. I just trying to wake you up. God bless Lori's and God bless IRS agents. But he was hanging on the cross. They're getting ready to do their worst to him, you know, and falsely accused, falsely crucified, but nonetheless for our sins he was crucified. He died, you know, for our justification. He raised up from the grave. Hallelujah. The tomb is empty. But while he's hanging on that cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's in Luke 23, verse 34, if you're writing down. Luke 23, verse 34, if you're taking notes. He says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, that's the supreme divine example Jesus set for us, is that, you know, they sinned against him, obviously. They killed him. That's pretty bad. And yet he forgave them. And you know who followed that same pattern? Stephen did the same thing. When they're getting ready to stone Stephen, in Acts the 7th chapter, you don't have to turn there, the 60th verse, if you're writing notes, they were stoning him, and he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin, or lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he gave up the ghost or fell asleep, the Bible says. And so there is an act of murder. I mean, they're killing him, and yet he forgives them. Wow. That's pretty wild, isn't it? But I know he had to be able to do that by the Spirit of God. He couldn't have done that on his own. He had to do that by the Spirit. And that's what we got to keep reminding ourselves. I just can't forgive them. Well, listen, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that bitterness is going to eat you alive. It's going to kill you. Holding on to that unforgiveness, just, you know, I will not forgive. And we buy the lie that we can't do it. I just can't do it. But you can through Christ. Amen. Start out saying it. Start out praying it. You know, start out praying for those that offend you and those that that talk against you. This is the supreme example. In forgiveness, everybody wins. See, that's the good news. There was a man that at Stephen's stoning, as it were, when they stoned him and killed him, there's a young man named Saul who stood there as a witness, and they laid his clothes at Saul's feet, Stephen's clothes at Saul's feet after they killed him. He was a witness to this. This Saul became Paul. And I can't help but think that rang in his head year by year until he did have that experience and see Jesus in Acts the 9th chapter, where Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. I can't help but think that it just rang in his head over and over, seeing that man die with a loud voice saying, "Lord, forgive them. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Those are the kind of people he was persecuting. Those are the kind of people he was locking up. Paul, great persecutor of the church. And those people were forgiving him. The last breath he heard, the last words that came out of Stephen's mouth were, "Don't lay this sin to their charge. Don't lay this sin to their charge. Do you really want revenge? Do you really want vengeance?" See, that's not the cry of the church. Someone sins against us, and boy, we're doing everything we can to put them down, to destroy their lives, to hurt them. And for some reason, we think we're going to get some help out of that. That's going to help us to hurt them. Now, I know there's laws and there's penalties for sins, and I agree with that. I think that's wonderful. We must have laws, and there are penalties for sin. But I can't harbor unforgiveness. I believe in a war, that if I went to war and defend my country, I could shoot someone and kill them in defense of my country, and do it as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, harboring no hard feelings toward anybody, protecting my family, protecting my nation. They might even be saved, and we might even sit down in heaven and talk about how I killed them and they shot me or whatever. I'm serious. Now, you think this thing through. I think you should protect your family. You should protect your nation. I believe in just war. There is just wars. There are unjust ones, but there are some just ones too. And I believe many times there's Christians on both sides. You're defending your nation. You're doing what you believe is right. Hello. But we don't harbor hatred. Because you come out of wars many times and you hate people of that nationality. You know, you hate the Germans, hate the Nazis, and hate the Japanese, you know, because of the war. But, you know, there are people just like you are. You're defending your country, and that's right. They're defending theirs, and that's right. There are other leaders involved making these decisions, and we go to war, and we fight with a good heart. Don't hate people. Oh, boy, getting quiet in here. Are you with me? And so you just have to watch unforgiveness, because it'll just eat you up. Nobody wins with unforgiveness. Everybody loses. You walk away and you lost because you're still holding that unforgiveness. It's still holding on to you, you know. Something you can't let go, you don't have it anyway. It has you. You know, I always love that example. You know, Paul, when he got bit by that snake, he shook it off. On the Isle of Malta, you know, he stuck his hand in this. There's sticks. They were gathering sticks for a fire. And this snake came out and bit him. And the Bible says he shook it off. Y'all keep looking at my pants leg. Is it off? The cuffs off? Okay. Okay. Right. These two right here have so much control over my life, you have no idea. But anyway, they're looking at each other, looking at my shoes, and going, "What did I do?" Okay. But it says he shook it off. Didn't say he just let it hold on. See, the longer that snake held on to him, the more poison came into him. Isn't that right? So when a snake gets hold of you, you want some good advice? Shake it off. Because the longer it holds on to you, the more poison gets into you. And that snake of unforgiveness is just that. It'll get in you. So, you know, the longer it stays there, the more poison gets in you. And you know what happens when you're poisoned? You start swelling up. And we can tell. We can tell you haven't shook it off yet. Because you're all puffed up about it. I mean, as soon as the subject comes up or the person comes up, here we go. You shake that thing off. Amen. For your sake. For your sake. Forgiving people is not just about that person that sinned. It's about you also. It's about what it will do to you, and God knows that. See, it's St. Augustine that said this. He said, "If a bad man sins against you, forgive him, lest there be two bad men." Isn't that right? You hadn't done anything wrong. But see, you've been wronged and you've been sinned against. You did nothing to deserve this. They were in the wrong. You're in the right. But see, because you're not forgiving, now you're getting in the wrong. You're actually, in one sense, entering into another man's sin. And the Bible says, don't enter into another man's sin. If they sin against you, pray for them. And let it go. Let it go. Actually, it'll open up a way for God to minister to them and for them to repent, and everybody wins. Woo! Aren't you glad Jesus forgave everyone that killed him on the cross? Aren't you glad that Stephen did the same thing?
Yes.
See, this is the cry of the church, is forgiveness, not revenge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I mean, we don't go that route. We go forgiveness route. Okay, y'all found Mark 11? Mark 11 chapter. I want everybody to win, don't you? You know, I was thinking of another quote out of Shakespeare about mercy. Boy, I'm waxing eloquent today, aren't I? And Shakespeare, he said, mercy, he said, the mercy, the quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as gentle rain from heaven. Upon the place beneath, it's twice blessed. It blesses him that gives and him that takes. I love that. Because when you give mercy, everybody wins. It's twice blessed. It blesses the one you give mercy to. It blesses you for giving the mercy. See, that's how we all come out ahead on a deal, is that we forgive, and then it releases that person that sinned, and it also causes a great blessing to you and releases you from it also. Twice blessed, the mercy of heaven. Glory. You say, well, I can't forgive them for what they do. It is only what they did to you that you can forgive them for. Why would I forgive Fred? He didn't do anything to me. Well, I can forgive Fred for what? Oh, I don't know. He's a good guy. Well, he didn't do anything. Sure, there's no forgiveness. I can only forgive a sin that's been committed against me. I can't forgive a sin that's not committed against me. That's why I always have, I think it's so funny that when these nations stand up and repent for something that they did 200 years ago. Well, that's nice and that's sweet and that's ever so politically correct, but it is just about the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. First of all, I want to apologize for what my ancestors did. What? I wasn't there. Are you with me? I just want to apologize for what the church did in the Crusades. I am so sorry for what the church did. What? I didn't do that. In fact, I can't apologize for that, and I can't forgive for that because that sin was not against me and I did not commit that sin.
Amen.
Y'all out there? Well, I mean, it's just people play games and it's symbolism. There's no substance to it at all. And nations even do it. They'll get up and they'll apologize, you know, for something that happened 200 years ago. We want an official apology we're making as the nation, the United States of America or whatever country, for something that happened, you know, 4 generations ago. No, you know what you need to do? Just live for God now and do the right thing now. Yeah. You do the right thing. And you forgive when people sin against you. And you repent when you sin. But repenting for other sins, no, the Bible does not do that. The Bible doesn't advocate that. And it is completely meaningless for me to repent of someone else's sins. I got enough of my own to repent of without repenting for somebody else's. Are you with me? Oh, maybe it's a... You know, maybe it's very diplomatic, maybe it's very acceptable, maybe politically correct, and there's a sense of decorum for a nation to do that, but it is meaningless. The only thing that means anything is when we do the right thing, determine we're not going to do what they did. We're not going to live like maybe our ancestors did when they were wrong. But it'd be impossible for me to repent for them, just like the Mormon Church baptizes for dead people. How can you be baptized in the place of another? Sure, it's getting quiet in here. It's easy to baptize in the place of... It's easy to repent for something someone else did. But boy, I tell you, it's our sins that we have trouble repenting of, isn't it? But that's all that God requires. He requires us to repent of our sin. To apologize for what someone else did. Hey, let's address the issue. Sure, that's wrong. And I'll stand up and say what they did was wrong. And God forbid we would ever do that and be ashamed to do that. And they should be ashamed, but I'm not ashamed for what they did. I read in the paper the other day, all kinds of bad things happened. I heard on the news several things happened all around the United States. I didn't feel ashamed for what they did. Have I lost you, or are you still with me? Okay. All right, let's center on us. So let's do our deal. Let's forgive. There's enough for us to forgive, enough for us to repent of without bringing in, you know, some proxy in here in the place of another. Now, the Bible says this. This is good. Mark 11, we all know this verse. In fact, we can quote it up one side down the other. You know, 22nd verse says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God or have the faith of God. For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Okay, we all got that. Amen? And the next verse says, and whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Boy, awesome teach. I love that. No question, that is just an astounding, amazing teaching when you think about the power of faith to overcome mountains in your life. Hallelujah. To speak to the problems, to speak to the crisis, to speak to the mountains, and believe in your heart that they'll go and they'll go. Hallelujah. And when you pray, believe you receive it. Doesn't matter what it looks like or whether it changes in front of you or not. When you pray, believe you receive it when you pray. And when you walk away from prayer, it's a done deal. Powerful stuff. But the next verse, 25th verse, says, and when you stand praying. That's interesting because you're not always kneeling down, not always sitting down, not always prostrate. It's not the position of your body, but the position of your heart. He says, when you stand praying. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Well, that's not what I want to talk about. I'm going to come against this mountain that's in front of me right now. Well, I think God's saying there's another mountain over here you need to get rid of first. When you're praying, you need to get rid of that mountain of unforgiveness. Now, don't you say, I can't do this, because he just got through saying, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be there removed. Cast and see, and shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. You believe that? Okay. So when it comes to forgiving and I can't feel it, I'm not feeling it, come on. You been there? Lord, I know what you said there, but I'm not feeling it. Well, thank God it's not a feeling. Thank God forgiveness has nothing to do with the way you feel. If it did, we'd be in trouble. There's no question, because there are people that sin against me. I want to take their head off. I mean, my feelings. But, I don't act on that. Aren't you glad I'm your pastor? Wouldn't that be terrible? Pastor's in the arrest list in the newspaper. Look at there. What did he do? Took somebody's head off. What is that? But you can't go by feeling. We feel these things, and see, we need to address that. I understand that. And God understands it. God knows we feel these things. That's why he says, don't do it. Amen. Don't do it. You speak to that mountain. You say, I forgive you, when you don't feel like forgiving. Amen. You say it. You say it. You speak to the mountain. Don't doubt in your heart now. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say will come to pass, and you'll have whatsoever you say. You say, well, how important is this? Well, let's see. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody. Forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. Well, that's pretty important, wouldn't you say? Now, granted, I don't believe that God forgives us on the basis of our forgiveness. I don't think that's what he's saying, because obviously I don't earn forgiveness. I think my forgiveness allows me to be forgiven. Because I'm not in the state of mind to be forgiven because I have not forgiven. Because you're so mean, okay, not you, I'm just throwing this out there, third person. Because you will not forgive, you have trouble getting forgiveness. God can't forgive you. Because of that attitude, it stops. I mean, who was that? I've got a quote here. You'll love this. Well, it was, he wrote the book God's Psychiatry. Charles Allen. Charles Allen said this. This is good. It isn't that God forgives us in exchange, on exchange basis. Our forgiveness of others is not a condition of God's forgiveness of us. Rather, it is a condition of our ability to receive forgiveness of God. We are told by Shakespeare, and I quoted that quote earlier, that the mercy of God is not strained, it droppeth as gentle rain from heaven. But I could cover a plant with a sheet of metal, and the rain would not get to it. So I can surround my soul with an unforgiving spirit and completely block the forgiving mercy of God. Are you with me? A wrong spirit, he goes on and says this, a wrong spirit toward another person may or may not hurt him, but it certainly will destroy my own soul. Booker T. Washington said this, and he had a right to say this. Let me tell you something. He lived in a time of a lot of racism and so on. He said this. He says, I will not permit any man to narrow and degrade my soul by making me hate him. Whew. Now that's pretty powerful stuff. Because if you let someone make you hate him, you have just destroyed yourself. You've hurt yourself. I mean, you've narrowed your focus. You've narrowed your life down to hate. See, can't live that way. See, God's trying to set us free. It's not just like God's this big ogre up there with a stick waiting to beat us on the head every time something goes wrong, and he likes just telling us what to do and kicking us around. No, he knows that this stuff's going to destroy us. It'll ruin families. It'll separate families. It separates people. There are families that don't even talk to each other because they will not forgive. Years go by, and they won't say anything. They won't talk to each other at holidays. They won't call them on the phone. And years go by, and years go by, and this wedge just gets bigger and bigger because nobody forgives. And they wake up at old age and think, oh my God, I've missed all these years over some dumb, stupid thing, the way you cooked that turkey at Thanksgiving 30 years ago. You told your mama not to put those chitlins in there? We're laughing, but you'd be amazed. When you get out and start talking to people and talk to their brother or the sister in 10 years, and you say, well, what happened? Well, last Thanksgiving, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Hello. Well, when you put forgiveness in light of these verses that we're just reading here, God's saying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's a pretty strong statement. And I don't think that God's saying you earn the forgiveness. I think he's saying you're not going to be forgiven. You can't receive forgiveness. Because of the bitterness of your heart, it makes it hard for you to be forgiven. Isn't it a law of God that whatever you give comes back to you? Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over. Isn't it a law of God? I mean, that principle, you can see it in life. If you're friendly with people, they'll be friendly back to you. Isn't that the truth? I mean, that's just the way it works. You're a receptacle. You're open. You're like a sponge, man, or like a magnet, just drawing kind, nice, happy people to you because you're that kind. You're that nice. It just draws people to you like that. And then when you're over there like this, and you're half mad all the time, got something bad to say about everybody, you get to where nobody wants to be around with you. You narrow it down to nobody but yourself, and you're just a legend in your own mind. But you have received what you gave. Unfriendliness has come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. And so forgiveness is the same way. You have a hard time receiving it because you won't give it. You just won't give it. Man, you're guilty, you feel guilty, you feel condemned, you're miserable. You won't forgive, so you can't receive forgiveness. Hey, I'm talking to me just like everybody else, so don't think I'm pointing anybody out. Okay, Fred, we'll talk about this later. Okay. Are you listening? Yes. So we want to forgive because we want to be forgiven. Isn't that right? And we want to mature. I want to mature. I want to be what God wants me to be. So I need to be a forgiver in order for that to happen. Forgiveness is not natural. I said that too. Is Alexander Pope that said to forgive is to err is human, to forgive divine. Y'all remember that quote? Y'all heard that? To err is human, to forgive divine. Well, if you're not careful, you'll throw it off on God and say, well, I can't, only God can. But see, that's the whole point. God can through you. And you can, by God, by God's power, through His power, you can forgive. It's not natural to forgive. If you're just going to go by whatever feels good, do it. If you're going to go by whatever you're inclined to do, whether you feel like doing today, you'll never forgive anybody. Because you don't feel like forgiving someone when they do something to you. You just do not feel that way. It is not a natural thing. It is a supernatural thing. See, if anything about nature we find out is nature, creation, has no forgiveness in it. You get too close to the cliff, you step off, gravity will take you to the ground. There is no forgiveness. There's no second chances there. You cross over the road, you're going too fast, car's coming, you hit it, people die that way. There's no forgiveness in that. Nature has no forgiveness. That's, we call them accidents. You know, they're not. It's not supernatural, that's natural. Everything in the natural just kind of decays, it's kind of going downhill. Scientifically, they call it the second law of thermodynamics. I know you knew that. You want to write that down? That'll help you get somebody saved. You put a white post out in the middle of the field, you leave it, don't touch it. Years go by, it'll turn black. It'll get dirt, everything on it. Everything decays. You leave a field to itself, it's going to be full of thorns. It's going to be full of, you know, weeds and bushes. And everything goes bad in the natural. Well, it was just so natural. Natural is always bad. Are you with me? Well, it just felt right. Well, you know, it doesn't matter what it feels like. To err is human. To forgive, divine. And if we'll lean on the Holy Ghost, if we'll lean on God and we'll ask Him to help us, we can forgive. Because it's supernatural to forgive. It's what separates us from the rocks and the trees and the birds and the bees and the moon up above and all that. What separates us is that we are people of God. We are Christians. We are believers. We have God in us. We can forgive, hallelujah, by the power of God. Maybe it's not natural, but it is supernatural. To err may be human, to forgive may be divine, but I have God in me and I can overcome this. And it's not a matter of what I feel like. It's a matter of what I act. God's not interested in what you feel like if you want to know the truth. He's really not. He doesn't really care. But He does care about what you do and how you act. Because He knows if you do and act the right way, you'll eventually train your feelings. You can act your way into feeling. You really can. The problem with us is generally we try to feel our way into action. We try to feel, when I feel like it, one day I'll feel like it, and you're never going to do it. Just quit stuttering. It's not going to happen. You're going to act on, you're going to have to, by faith, act on the Word, and you can act your way into feeling. You can change your feelings. You really can. You know, you cannot hate someone that you're continually praying for. It's impossible to do. All that bitterness that you have when that name comes up and that person's mentioned in a conversation, you know, if you're on your knees every single day praying for them, you couldn't have that feeling. Oh, you might start out with it, but it'd finally leave. Because prayer would overcome it. And you would act your way into feeling. You say, well, it isn't. It's just an act. It's a put on. Well, the Bible says, put on the new man. And in this case, the clothes make the man. If you put this on, it'll change you. I love that. You just say it this way. If you act out in a play, if you're in a theater or a play, whatever, and you're acting out a part, you're not really that person. You're just acting like that person. When the play's over, you go back to your old self. You're still the same. But see, this is different. When you act this out, when you forgive and you say you forgive and you pray for people and ask God to not hold this to their charge and to bless them and to help me, Lord, help me in the name of Jesus. I pray that you help me concerning this person, that this bitter feelings I just come against in the name of Jesus. I forgive that person. When you act this part out and you're just acting because you don't feel it, this doesn't seem to be you at all. This is something you're putting on. This is makeup you're putting on. And I mean you putting it on heavy too because you've got to cover up a lot of stuff. But the difference with this is when this show's over, you keep putting this on, you keep putting this on, all of a sudden, Pinocchio doesn't need no strings no more. You actually love the person. You don't hate them anymore. It's all gone. Wow, I'm free. I'm free. See, you act yourself into feeling. And you were changed by your actions. That is so important. Forgiveness changes us. Sin will do it too. Unforgiveness will change us. Bitterness will make us terrible people. But forgiveness will turn us around on us. Turn the devil's tables over on them. Amen? And we'll become a lover. We'll become a forgiver. And you know, we won't be held by that. We won't be broken down by that. Praise God. That's why God is more interested in the way you act than the way you feel. Because actions will eventually change your feelings. And forgiveness is an act. It is what you say, and it is what you do. Turn to Matthew 18. This helping you? Here's the instance where Peter came to Jesus. I love this one because we often hear this too, you know. Oh yeah, I forgave him, they did it again. How many times I got to forgive the guy? Of course, Jesus said it real plain here. Y'all have as much fun as I am? Okay. Well, you need to tell your face. Okay. It says here, Matthew 18, 21st verse, then Peter came to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and forgive him? Up to seven times? So he's thinking, I'm looking for an out here, okay? You know, I can forgive him seven times. That eight time, that's it, baby. It's over. I'm going to hate you the rest of my life. You had your chances. That was it, seven times. Well, it says here, Jesus said, well, do not say, he says, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And that was just symbolic. I mean, it would be infinite, you know, how many times you forgive someone. If they keep coming to you asking you to forgive them, you got to forgive them. Amen. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, thank God you're not God. Hello. I don't know how many times I sinned against God. I don't know. I don't know how many times before I got saved. I've sinned. Since I got saved, I've had to get forgiveness. How about you? Okay. Aren't you glad God says, no, I forgave you that same sin. You committed that same sin in 1992. I remember. Well, the good news is God doesn't remember, because He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers them no more, the Bible says. Hallelujah. So it's a fresh start. See, He's forgiven it, so it's a fresh start. Now we're starting over again. I sin again, I repent, He forgives me. Now God wants you to overcome your sin. Stay with me. And I think there's something better than forgiveness. It's called holy living. No question, that's the best thing. What that means is that you live holy where you don't need the forgiveness. But if you do sin, that's what John tells us. 1 John 2, he tells us this. I believe it's the first verse. He says, my little children, he says, I write these things unto you that you sin not. That's the whole point. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, a lawyer, Jesus Christ the righteous, you know, that will forgive us. No question there. But see, God's best is that we just get over the sin, that we quit sinning. I mean, it's good that God forgives us. But we want to get to the point where we don't need it so much. Are you out there? But how many times do we forgive people? Well, you know, it's limitless. I think sometimes I've forgiven a person for the same sin, lots of times, not that they committed it again, because it kept coming up in my mind and I had to keep forgiving them. You ever had that happen? I mean, they sinned against you. They didn't sin against you two, three, four, five times. They sinned against you once and you forgave them, but then it came back up and you had to keep going over that thing till you got free. Man, I've forgiven him 70 times for that thing, you know. Because I need to get free from this. This thing's eating me up. I got to get rid of this thing. It's just tearing me up. Why would I let that person's sin take over my life and ruin my family and ruin me and my destiny and my attitude and my day? No, don't be like that woman. You know that, and I've told it before, that woman that got bit by that rabid dog, you know. They took her to the hospital and the doctor came in and says, ma'am, I'm so sorry. You are so eat up with this rabies, there's nothing really we can do. You're probably only going to make it about another 4 or 5 hours. And she says, you're kidding. He says, no. And she said, well, do you have some paper? I need a pen. I need some paper. And so the doctor says, well, sure. So he brings all this paper in and a pen. And he's thinking, man, she's writing a will out. And, you know, she's only got 4 or 5 hours left. And she's just writing furiously, page after page after page. After about 2 or 3 hours, he comes in. She's still writing. He says, ma'am, I'm sorry. Don't mean to interrupt you, but that's the longest will I've ever seen in my life. She says, this is not a will. This is all the people I want to bite before I die. Now that is not the attitude to have. That's not forgiveness. I mean, when you're looking at the end of your life, you need to be thinking about people you need to forgive. And let go. Not bite. So we forgive 70 times 7. That's an infinite number. He's not saying that's the exact number. Don't get a chart and start writing it down. Almost one more. One more time and I'm off the hook. Hallelujah. You know, I heard this. I thought this was really good. Fred Price told a story one time, but as an example, you know, he says forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean you keep hanging around the person. I mean, I realize there are some people that, you know, we don't, as we say these texts, G and Hall, you know, I love them, I'm for them, but I'm not going to hang out with them, you know. And so that doesn't mean you have to hang out with people that you forgive. You should forgive people. Sometimes you have to walk away. It's like he said, you know, if I were to walk in a person's yard and open up the gate and walk in, go up the front door, and they have a dog in that yard, and that dog runs up and bites me, he says, you know, I can forgive that dog. That's his nature. That's what that dog does. He bites people. He said, but I'm not going back in that yard. Okay? So what we're saying is, we're not saying that, you know, people that necessarily sin against you, you have to continue the same relationship. Some people do this constantly. You need to use wisdom. And we forgive them. We love them. We don't hate them. But obviously, we're not going to hang out with them. Yeah. Are you with me? But I'm not going to be mad at them. I'm not going to be bitter toward them. I'm just going to say, well, you know, I hope they turn around, but, you know, until they do, I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to walk the other way. I'm going to forgive them. I'm not going to hold bitterness toward them. But I'm going to use wisdom. I think on a job situation, when you've got employees, I mean, there are times you have to fire people. But you don't want to hate them when you fire them. You know, for whatever reason, they didn't do their job, they did something wrong, or maybe it was a layoff, whatever the case may be. But you don't hold bitterness toward them. But you don't keep them on just because you forgive them for what they did wrong. Are you out there? See, forgiveness is an attitude. It's what's in our heart. We don't want that. I can't have that. Because that's going to destroy me. It's going to ruin me. Wow. C.S. Lewis said this. This is good. In the book, The Problem of Pain. He said, forgiveness needs to be accepted as well as offered if it's to be complete. And a man who admits no guilt can accept no forgiveness. You know, so we have to understand some people, we forgive them, but they're still hadn't repented. It's not really complete in their lives. I'm free, they're not. Are you with me? So I sure don't keep dealing with them if they're not repenting, they're not changing. I forgive them, I'm free, but they're not. It's got to be accepted as well as given. So, you know, the Bible talks about it. I mean, many, many verses about forgiveness, and it's for our benefits, for our good. We need to be a church of forgiveness. People sin in church, they do. You know, not necessarily why I'm preaching. Although that might happen too. But anyway, people sin, and we're about restoration and forgiveness if people want to get right and come back. But, you know, I don't want people back if they're not right. Are you with me? If they don't want to get right, there's all kinds of sins we could list that people commit, especially that are popular in this day and age. Homosexuality is one of them. I'm against it. It's an abomination to God. It's a sin, and it's wrong. No matter what, political correctness would say, no matter how many, you know, laws are passed concerning the matter, it's just a sin. Now, do we hate homosexuals? No, we do not. We do not hate homosexuals. In fact, if they repent, you know what? We'll take them in. They can come. Come on, bring them. Bring the adulterer, bring the homosexual, bring the liar, bring the gossiper. Bring the sinner if they'll repent. Come on. But now, would we allow them to come join the church? No, of course not. No way. Would they be welcome to come? Well, no, of course not. If they want to come and repent, we'll take them. We love them. We're for them. But we stand for something. If you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything. That's not mean-spirited. That's not homophobic. That's not afraid of that sin. I'm not afraid of sin. I just know what it does to people. And we forgive people that sin, and we'll take them in if they repent. But we can't be a church just full of people that just live in sin and everything's okay. Forgiveness means something. You know, we should quit the sin. Are you out there? That's not too hard. I mean, that's what the Scripture says. Jesus, take anybody. If they repent, they repent. But he's not saying it's just okay, live the way you want to, I forgive you. Oh, no, no, no. See, Jesus won't have anything to do with you either if you keep sinning. Oh, he forgives you, but you hadn't received it yet. Until you receive it, you have no fellowship with him. Wow. I'm going to forgive. How about you? Because I want to receive forgiveness, and I want to obey God. Don't write that list out on all those people you want to bite. Put them on your prayer list, amen?